with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was angry going to temple that morning. Tell you the truth, I've been angry every time we'd gone to temple for some time now. But Mother always insisted we go, so we went. See, my father had died not too long beforehand. Well, it's not like we had any inheritance from him. He didn't have a brother for my mother to marry. And without him being around to work, my mother and my sisters and I, well, we were in trouble. None of us were exactly the most eligible bachelorettes, what with our inability to offer a bride price. So it was just us, myself, my sisters, and my mother, eking out a living in whatever meager way we could manage, and of course, never missing Shabbat at the temple. Look, don't get me wrong, it wasn't God I was angry with. Though I don't know, maybe that's not entirely fair to say. After all, God was the one that let things go on the way they did for so long. Maybe I was. When I was little, going to the temple made me feel like I was curling up on God's lap for a while. But the way it had gotten, I don't know how anyone could hear God over the sounds of coins being weighed and haggling for the best price on a sheep or a goat. The temple had practically become the most hectic market we had in Jerusalem, and I gotta be honest, the prices were a lot less fair there than at the actual market at the bottom of the hill. You see, somebody, some priest or some scribe or whatever, had figured out that people traveling from out of town to go to the temple, well, they'd have a much easier journey if they could just buy their lamb there rather than needing to carry it or walk with it the whole way. And even some of the folks in Jerusalem, they didn't have the land or the money to own their own livestock to offer. So the temple powers that be decided that setting up a market to sell animals for sacrifice right inside the temple would be a fantastic entrepreneurial venture. Maybe it started out as a well-intentioned thing. I don't know. But it wasn't too long before the prices climbed up and up, and if it were just that, hey, maybe I could have gotten over it. But it wasn't just that. It wasn't just the price gouging. It was the propaganda campaign that went along with it. The exhortations to give all we could to the temple, the importance of offering animals for sacrifice, to cleanse ourselves of our sin. How God would bless our generosity, how God wanted our sacrifices, which is a pretty convenient message to trumpet every Saturday when you're the one that lives large off the offerings and gets fat on the sacrifices. Every Saturday, my mother would come to temple and throw nearly everything she had made that week into a collection plate. And every Sunday, I would watch poor folks figuring out what they could barter in exchange for the ability to have their souls clean. While those with money to burn, I never saw anxiety on their faces. Not like I saw it on my mother's. No, they were the ones that were praised as big givers. They were the temple's favorite donors. What they gave was a drop in the bucket. And they were treated like royalty. Meanwhile, my mother, let's just say nobody ever offered her the best seat in the house. Nobody ever publicly thanked her in front of the whole assembly. And the temple just let her keep on giving everything when they should have been helping her. They should have been helping us. No, enough was never enough. The temple always wanted more, and I knew this wasn't what God wanted. I knew the system where all is forgiven if you have the money to make it so, but the poor have to scrape and struggle to scrounge together something good enough for God to not turn God's back on them. I knew it was all a lie, but what could I do? Faith was all my mother had. It was all any of us had. So we went back. Every week, and every week I silently stewed in my anger, and every week I prayed that somebody would fix it. That's what I was doing, stewing and praying, when all of a sudden I heard this commotion behind me. And I saw this man who looked as angry as I felt. He was holding a whip in one hand and he was using it to shoo the cattle away and the goats away and the sheep away, setting them free. And with the other hand, he was flipping over the salesman's table, sending their money flying everywhere, and I may or may not have pocketed a coin that rolled my direction. He was shouting at the money changers, condemning them for making his father's house a market, a den of thieves instead of a house of worship. You believe that? His father's house, that's what he said. He went in and cleaned house like he owned the place. I've never seen a poor person talk like that before. Like they owned anything, not to someone who clearly had so much more than he did. He was the first man I ever saw who didn't seem to know his place. And it made me want to forget my place. I know a lot of people were appalled by what he did, not least of which the money changers. It wasn't even just them, though. There were people that had no more than I do who couldn't get past this man's methods and hear his message. But I know I wasn't the only one uplifted and exhilarated and validated by what he did. There were others. I could see it in their eyes. Others who had grinned and borne it for too long. I'm sure the priests noticed our approval. It's no wonder that the sermon later that day was on the importance of peace and unity in God's house. So no, to answer your question, I don't think Jesus, whatever you said his name was, I don't think he deserves to be arrested for this. I think we should give him a medal. He was the first person with the eyes to see what was happening and the spine to do something about it. Now, will it make a difference? I don't know. I imagine they'll set up their market in the temple just like they did last week. But I know it made a difference to me. Never again will I let some institution tell me what God thinks about me, because I already know, and they're not going to change my mind. As for this Jesus guy, you know, I'm worried about him. You don't get away with acting up like that for long, not in a town like this. Still, I think I ought to look him up. He set me free that day. He saved me, I guess you could say, from my anger, from my inability to do anything with that anger, from my fear that deep down they were right about me and right about my mom. I think I want to tell him what he means to me. And I think whatever he's got to say, I want to hear it.